Hello and welcome to the 137th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we're here to talk North Texas football. Harry, no MOE. Let me tell you, that game was like a paper cut to the eye or to the lip right there.
Yeah, it was a really discouraging loss, disheartening.
It was painful.
It was painful. You had high hopes going into that game, that especially with Dejon Williams at quarterback, we were going to see some good things on offense. You come out there, first part of the game kind of seemed like we were going to be okay, and then next thing you know, we've got two turnovers that lead to 14 points in the first quarter, and we've spotted UAB two touchdowns, you know, on the road. You can't do that, Evan. You just can't. And it was just the worst case scenario you could possibly, if your worst nightmare about that UAB game were to play out, that's what happened.
What happened, man? I mean, was it big head? I mean, what is it? He always seems so poised and so ready out there. Did he just get too lax? Did he get too comfortable? Did he think, I can do this because so many people see me as the answer? What? I mean, was this a psychological deal? What happened?
I think the first thing is Nicholls State gave us a completely incorrect view of how good he really was. I mean, Nicholls State is one of the worst college football teams in the country, and why we're playing those games. I mean, I would much rather prefer playing a 1A opponent, a lower level 1A opponent, but that's another debate. That's one piece. The other piece is, I think, you know, he's a redshirt freshman. I mean, he has not gotten a lot of snaps. We talked to Ashton last week about the Dejon Williams episode that was coming up, and hopefully a lot of people got to watch that. But this is a kid that hadn't really done everything that the coaches had asked him to do and had missed a lot of practices and really wasn't keeping up his end of the bargain. And what does that mean? Well, it means that he didn't get a whole lot of snaps. He didn't get a whole lot of repetitions. So you get into a game like that against, I think, a pretty good UAB team, and you try to make things happen when they're not there, and you're going to make mistakes.
Well, it's obviously, it seemed like this year has been a tale of two teams, because we have where we were on. We have not had a game that was close. We either just blew it out or we totally sucked. And when you look at these games, you look at how we performed this past week, it was so bad. You know, there were some controversial comments that came out by Coach Mack, and there's even, we're going to talk about some that he had with Brett Vito, but there's been a lot of situations this year that you got to wonder, and what do we do with Dejon? Do we keep running him out there because he's got the most talent, we're going to see him the rest of the year, or you put Mini Mack in there and see what he can do, because he kind of cleaned up a little bit and decent and at the end of that game, and is he serviceable? Did he gain some confidence there? Where do you go?
Well, the rumors I'm hearing is that both, and I think Brett Vito reported this, I think both Mini Mack and Dejon are splitting time with the ones. I'm just going to say right now, I would not be shocked at all to see Mini Mack start this game, Evan. And I think there's some reasons behind that. Southern Miss is not very good against the run. I can see this be a game where Coach Mack and Canales come in and say, we're not going to give this game away. You know, if Southern Miss is going to come beat us in Apogee, they're going to do it on their own. We're not going to deliver it to them like we did against UAB. Personally, I want to see Dejon start. I don't think you give up on the kid after one just terrible, terrible game. And don't get me wrong, that was a terrible performance on his part.
Well, I think we all have understood that he has the most talent, and we would like to see his type of play. The mobile quarterback, we like what we see. He had a really bad game. Now, here's something that was real troubling to me, though, is they kept going to him on the sidelines. He looked dejected, and you can't look dejected. You can't. If you look dejected, you are dejected. Yeah. Because he looked like he was zoned out over there. He was glazed over, staring off into the distance. I mean, he looked like he was beaten down, and you can't do that. You got to get yourself back up. That was real troubling.
Well, again, he's a year away from high school. And maturity is probably not a strong suit for him. And he's never faced that kind of situation in a college game. He's never had that kind of performance in a college game. So I'm sure he's not used to dealing with those types of situations. Again, as they're saying in the chat room right now, this guy has the most upside. I mean, he has the most talent. But you're torn because we've got to win some ball games. As bad as this season has gone, we have six games left. You know, four games gets us to six wins. We could, you know, is this going to be another Dodge two-win season, or is this going to be a season where maybe we step back a little bit from last year, but we still get to a bowl game? Those are the things that you've got to think about when you decide who's going to be the starting quarterback in this game.
So before we get into some of the other thoughts and things for down the road, let's talk a little bit about what happened on the field. Obviously, the score was hugely out of whack, 56-21. It's just you look at that and you swear, how did that happen? I think one of the bigger question marks in that game was how they said there was 20,000 people in attendance. I've never seen a stadium so large and so empty, and I don't know how many that stadium holds. I'm sure somebody will fill us in. But yeah, it's hard to fill a stadium that looks like that. But whatever camera angles they had, they did not have a good camera angle on their fans.
No, they didn't.
Because if there was 20,000 there, that was crazy. But yeah, it was pretty bad. So you look at the stats. When you look at rushing, we had 12 rushing first downs. We had 12 passing, and we had zero penalty. We had 12 rushing first downs. They had 9. I mean, we beat them up. We had more first downs than them.
Which means
we
didn't capitalize. Yeah, but a lot of that came late.
I understand that, but still,
yeah.
We didn't score. We were a really good team in the red zone. So we had 160 yards rushing. They had 132.
Yeah.
Passing, we had 291, 316. When you look at these stats, this game should have been pretty close.
Turnovers.
Yeah,
turnovers.
Okay, that's where we get down to when you look at the turnovers. And the turnovers were absolutely – they had 35 points after turnover, 35 points off of turnovers.
Well, and the other thing, because a lot of people talked about our defense didn't play very well either,
no.
And they didn't. But when you get a 14-point lead – that changes. You can be a lot more aggressive, both offensively and defensively.
Right, right.
And that changes the whole mindset of the game. But I think you're absolutely right. If you look at the pure stats, it doesn't look like a game that they won by that much. And that's the problem with a guy like Dejon Williams. If he's going to turn the ball over, it hurts the team's chance to win.
Right. Yeah, I mean, as far as that's kind of what I wanted to point out with the stats. This is just so skewed, but it was the turnovers that really killed us. 35 points off of turnovers is just unacceptable. So look at it. They had, I'm trying to think, what was the actual turnover margin? And I'm looking on here, and I should have had it, but I didn't.
I mean, like 5 turnovers or something. It was bad.
Yeah, I thought I had it right here, but I don't. Yeah, that's the thing. We had, here it is. 231, 140. No, I don't have it. All right. Well, we'll move on. But the bottom line is that's what killed us.
Yeah.
And it was early. And it just totally deflated Dejon, and that was a real problem.
Turnovers were 5 for us and 0 for them.
There you go. They didn't turn the ball over, and that's not good playing along with how Mac likes to play ball. Dejon had 40 yards rushing, which I thought was a little low for him. You know, we usually sometimes he's gained that, and you know, the week before when he gained or 56 in one play or whatever, so he can run the ball, and we just didn't see that out of him. Passing, he passed for 124, he was 11 of 21, he was sacked 5 times.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line, they're kind of not the main focus of a lot of people's criticism, but I think, you know, this was an offensive line that rarely would give up a sack last season. And now you're seeing that they've got some chinks in their armor. The offensive line's not performed. That was supposed to be the strength of the team, and that's something that I think has got to be bothersome for Mike Simmons, the offensive line coach, and the program in general.
Well, and when you see some of the – you're kind of like, well, why did he get sacked so much? He should have thrown the ball away. Well, a couple of times he threw the ball away, and you were like, why did you throw that? I mean, right into the arms of that one interception I can think of that was inside the 10 or something. He threw it, and there was nobody else there besides a player from the other team. It was really, really blatant. And that was one that he just really seemed to take hard. So there's a lot of things. But the question is, this week, is he going to play again? Is there McNulty going to start? Because that seems to be the question, and a lot of people think McNulty is going to start this week.
That seems to be the rumor that we're hearing. That's not confirmed, but it wouldn't shock me at all because, again, McNulty, for all of his faults, does not appear to be the type of guy that's going to turn the ball over a bunch. And again, you need this game. If you're North Texas, if you lose this game, then the season's over.
Well, look at the passing yards, and McNulty is obviously not as mobile as DeJean is, but he was 9 for 14, 167 yards, which would have been all the games this year. That would have been his best game.
He's earned the opportunity.
He did pretty good.
I feel like if you put DeJean on the sidelines now, you risk really losing anything from him this season.
Well, that's the question. If we put him in there and we burn again, is it a situation where, because the season is salvageable now. I mean, you look at the teams we're playing, how many tough teams we have left on our schedule. You could definitely string something together, but can you take the chance to grow with DeJean, or you try to get something to make sure we get a win and work on him later? I mean, is it? I hate to say it, but is it one of those seasons where we're rebuilding kind of a deal?
It's a tough spot.
We're trying to build it up.
I feel where Mac's coming from. You've got to win this game. I mean, it's a home game against probably the easiest team left on our schedule. Let's be honest. Southern Miss, not any tough Conference USA team. But the thing that I got to say is that, just like what you're saying, do you give up trying to get reps with a guy that's going to be here for another 3 years? I mean, McNulty's a junior, right? He's only got one more year left, and DeJean's still got 3 more years left after this. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. I think I will agree with you on this point. We need to win this game. So whoever we think gives us the best chance to win this game is probably who we need to go with.
Right. So before we talk about Southern Miss, okay, we're going to act like that game didn't happen. Let's just do that. So before we talk about Southern Miss, do you want to mention the controversial comments by Coach McCarney this week? I think everybody knows a lot of things have been said this year. There's a lot of question, a lot of players. He made some controversial comments last week about this team just isn't as talented in certain areas as we were last year. A lot of realities, but one of the things that really stuck and hit a lot of people hard was some of the comments he made to Brett Vito in an article this week about the situation with North Texas. I'm going to quote here, "This isn't the easiest place in the world to recruit to. This isn't the easiest place in the world when you have a track record and a lot of years of losing. Just because you put in some cement and some bigger stands, that doesn't make it easy." And actually, it's concrete. Cement is a component of concrete, but
Yeah, specifics.
Yeah. So when you look at that and you hear some of the other comments he's talked about, are we making excuses? I mean, he goes on to say then he's building and it's just going to take some time.
Right.
But was it a situation that last year was a lot quicker and a lot too pretty, or was it prettier than it should have been?
I mean, I think the quote you were referencing, he says, "Now we are slowly but surely getting there. Did it happen fast because I came in wearing some big ass ring from Florida, or because some people respected what I did at Iowa State?" You know, I'm torn on this. I feel like, on the one hand, I respect the guy for telling you. I don't think Mac hides anything.
No, he doesn't.
I think he tells the truth and how he feels. And that's something, as a fan, a supporter of their program, you appreciate and respect. On the other hand, for old farts like me that were out there watching games in Fouts Field for years and years when we didn't have a pot to piss in facilities-wise, it's kind of difficult to hear that things are hard at North Texas. Things were hard at North Texas back when Daryl Dickey was
here. It's not as hard as it was. There's no doubt.
No way.
We have got – I mean, you look at the things, the conference, the opponents – the facilities, I'm sorry, you can say that cement doesn't make a difference, but it does. I mean, the whole reason why people take trips to schools is to see the facilities, see what the coaches are like, see the atmosphere. And when you took them to Fouts, it was embarrassing. I mean, I'm amazed we got some of the recruits we did.
Yeah.
This facility has nothing to do with it. So, you know what? I could see that maybe playing a little bit of an issue, but there is some background and the years of losing, but I don't think it's as big as he made out here. Now, his basic point is I guess a lot of it is they're building, they're getting there, but it's still tough. And I can understand that. We've also got more Division I programs in the state than we had several years ago.
Yeah, but such is the life of a mid-major. I mean, look at Tulsa. You know, Tulsa, I think, got their program to the point where they were beating Notre Dame and Oklahoma and doing all these things and recruiting all these great players. And look at them now. You know, last season they were like the worst team in Conference USA or one of them, and they're struggling this year again. Southern Miss, that's another one. They had like 10 consecutive winning seasons or something. So I think part of the thing you have to temper is, you know, even a program like UT in Austin, look at, they get the best recruits every single year, and they are still struggling to try to win games in the Big 12.
Well, I think that's a good point. You know, when you see crew, they're constantly top recruiters, and Texas having the year that they're having, you kind of wonder, you know, what is the problem? There's a few people in the room, the chat room, talking about different things.
Connor Means got brought up here, which let me just jump in right now.
Go.
I do think that guy can play, and I can't wait to see him play. But we're halfway through the season now. Do you really burn a true freshman's redshirt? No. I mean, absolutely not. There's no need to do that. Give this guy a year, and then we've got someone that we can maybe point to for next
season.
Well,
that's the thing. We were talking about the Carthage group, you know, Tigery. You know, we were talking about those guys. We were like, should they be playing? Should they be helping out there? No. Not at this point, we're like, no. I mean, let's wait for them for next year. Let's see what we can do, because this year we have a tough go on it. We got a lot of decisions to make. But the comments he made and some of the other comments that he said earlier this year that were, you know, the talent's not there, you gotta wonder. And we've seen the Beyond the Green, but you just feel like the team, there's a little misdirection. You know what I'm saying?
There's just not clicking.
They're not clicking.
There's not good leadership. I mean, you're missing some guys big time. And I'm one that will admit, I didn't think we were going to miss them as much as we have. But, you know, Zach Orr, Marcus Trice,
right,
those are guys that you can't replace. Not just what they do on the field, but what they do off the field as leaders. And it's a young team still.
Well, and even the proven playmakers, some guys that we were just so enthralled with last year, haven't really hit the stride that we thought. You know, I'm a big, huge Kenny Byers fan. He's missed some tackles that he just never missed before. Yeah. And
he's getting picked on.
That's the thing. And we're not used to seeing that. So there's a lot of places to go. But you got to wonder, when Carney's making comments like this, if you're making these comments and you're winning, then it's showing what you can do. But when you're making these comments and you're losing, it seems like an excuse.
Well, but I will. The one thing that's good about McCarney, because first off, let's be real clear, Mac's not going anywhere, and we don't want him to go anywhere.
No, that's exactly
at all.
Right.
He is absolutely a great coach, and just got a contract extension, just took us to a bowl. But in terms of the assistant coaches, if you don't think Mac's going to hold them accountable for performance issues, you got another thing coming. And I think he was pretty clear in some of his statements that he's had since that loss last weekend that, you know, he has high expectations. Mm-hmm. And from the assistant coaches to the players, I really feel like, you know, the next couple of games are going to say a lot about what happens, you know, to this program in the off season.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of guys. It is a young team. You know, everything can't click at all at all times. I think everybody's just a little down. I mean, you know, we can tell you. Be on the inside and seeing just the traffic numbers for Gomen Green, you can tell when we win or lose, obviously, by the traffic and the things. And so you know where we're at and where the fan base is. And I think the home crowd attendance on the alumni side has been surprisingly disappointing.
Yeah.
The student side has been surprisingly uplifting because it's been very good. But there's a lot of question marks all over the place with this program right now. And you got to wonder how they're going to string it together the rest of the year. What are they going to try to accomplish? Obviously, it's to win games. But how do you do that and with who? There's a lot of things left in the air.
Well, there's here, I'm going to give you my optimism speech, which I've done on the board a little bit, too.
Do you want me to play Battle Hymn of the Republic?
Yeah, that
in the
would
background?
Be good in the background. Mm-hmm. No, we have 6 games left, 3 home games, 3 away games. These are not juggernauts that we're playing. We may not be favored in every game, but none of these games have to be a blowout if we take care of business. So the reality of it is we could still have a good ending to this season. So there's a lot to fight for out there. And this game against Southern Miss is huge. You know, you get this game, you get up to 3-4, and then you're right back into the ball game. I mean, you can, you know, you could feasibly get to a bowl. You've got six games. To get to six wins, you need four out of those six. Is that asking too much? I mean, is that an impossibility? I don't know. We'll see.
Wasn't quite the effect I was hoping for. You can't hear. But no, I agree. There's a thing, and we're at that point of the season now where you're kind of wondering what else we can string together, what we can look for. A bowl game right now is something we were hoping we'd get back to. Right now, we just need to try to get wins on the board. But it's not been easy for us compared. Look at UTSA. They started out their season beating Houston, looking like they are going to just knock it out of the park. And what happens? They're struggling.
Well, they're with us. They're 2-4 right now.
They're 2-4.
They won last weekend, barely.
They won last week 13-16 or something like that. It was something crazy. But we're not in a powerhouse conference right now. We could easily be competitive in the rest of these games, but they're going to have to figure out who can step up. I'm kind of in the – McNulty played good the other day. His numbers look – he deserves to play. But I'm kind of like you. I like the package that DeJean can bring, and I don't want to pull him out. But I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You talked about McCartney puts it out there and tells us how it is. When you watch Beyond the Green episodes and the way he talked about DeJean and all the stuff, and he didn't have the commitment there. I mean, he could have come out, hey, oh, this is the guy. No, he told it how it was, and I respect that completely.
But, you know, they also set that up to say DeJean's got it together now. DeJean's got a new attitude, and then he goes out there and lays an egg in the game. Adman in the chat room had a good point, and that was the situations that DeJean was being put into. Do you think looking back at that UAB game that maybe you could have, you know, reined things in a little bit for DeJean, made things a little bit more scripted, stuck to the run a little bit more, not had him out on an island as much? I think that's a valid point. I think in some respects we put him in a position where he could make some of those terrible mistakes. I think this week, if he plays, try to keep it a lot simpler and not as dangerous. You know, there were just some dangerous plays in that UAB game, and he made some terrible throws and decisions. But so I guess what I'm saying is maybe not all of it's on DeJean. Maybe some of it's on the schemes and the positions that he's getting placed into.
Well, that's what Adman also said, and that's the first thing. I was trying to figure out where you said he said something. I'm scrolling up, and he said he'd like to see somebody else calling the plays too.
Yeah.
We've questioned some of this. Why are we running it up the middle here? Why are we doing this? Why can't the other thing was working? Why are we doing this? We're trying to establish that. Well, let's just go with what's working. I mean, you can always play that from where you are in the stands, but what did you think? Let me ask you this. What did you think was the play of the receivers and the running backs in this past game?
It's hard to tell. You know, it's so hard to tell on receivers. I thought running backs, I think Jemerson should be the starter right now. I think Jemerson has proven.
He had a great game.
You know, he hadn't been fumbling the ball. He's had some great runs. Yeah, it was late. The game was over by that time. But still, I think he's earned a spot. I kind of like to have an Eric Evans out there for a couple plays to start off the game. I like what he brings to the table. So I'm okay on the running back situation. Receivers, it's harder to tell with them. I get the impression that they're not getting open, but it's really hard to tell that from watching, you know, on a TV screen where they're focused on the quarterback the whole time. I think we could probably get some better separation from our wide receivers, though, in general right now. And I don't think that they're real pleased with how the wide receivers are playing.
So one of the questions in the chat room brought up by SSP was, are you guys going to dress the line like Lemon?
Yeah.
Lemon line.
We mentioned it earlier, but I think that's the big story that everybody keeps overlooking. Everyone's focused on DeJean and the defense and this and that and everything else. But what about our offensive line? I mean, we had the best returning starter group.
We thought that was going to be the one constant. We thought that was going to be this one thing that we could set, that this is going to be awesome. Anybody we put back there is going to be great because this is the best offense.
And they were terrible against Texas, and they were terrible against Louisiana Tech. And you know, you just go up and down the list, and it's like, how did that happen? How did these are some of the best linemen. I think Lemon and Wybarbo, you know, some of the two of the best offensive linemen we've ever had in the program.
Yep.
And, you know, I can't help but keep thinking that moving Lemon from guard to tackle experiment has been a massive failure, you know, because not only has the offensive line not played well, Lemon hasn't been in his natural position. And instead of developing a tackle that we're going to need next year when we graduate all these guys, we've moved him out there. I think in hindsight, moving Lemon to tackle has been a big mistake.
What about the rest of the defense? I mean, what about the defense? Not the rest of the defense, but what about the defensive play? I think they've been surprisingly good. I would have wished we could have gotten to their quarterback a lot more. But as far as them stepping up, I think the whole season that they played beyond what I thought they could, the problem is a lot of them is we're seeing a lot of
big plays.
That's exactly right. Big plays, plays that get away from us and miss tackles. And we've talked about before a couple games ago, the Laramie Lee hit at the Indiana game that we're like, oh, it would have wrapped up there. A lot of things like that have absolutely killed us. But I think on the most part, I think the defense, especially the defensive line, was a lot better than we thought it was going to be.
Okay, so here's the deal on the defense. Look at the UAB drive charts for scores. Okay, Dejon gives up two silly, you know, turnovers, which basically one's a fumble return for a touchdown and one's a 22-yard interception return for a touchdown. It's 14-0. You've spotted them two touchdowns. Very next, so we go three and out and punt. They get the ball deep on their own side, 16-play drive, 73 yards, 4 minutes, 41 seconds to go up 21-0. That drive, right? Okay, so put the 14 points you gave away aside. To allow that team – do you think our – let me put it to you this way. Do you think our defense from last year would have allowed them to drive 73 yards for 7 points after giving up two turnovers?
No.
Hell no.
I completely understand. I mean, think about the stand. Think of how great that was. But I really thought we would have nothing on defense, and they surprised me with what we did have, especially early on. I mean, even against Texas, I thought they showed something.
Texas game was their high water mark for this whole season. I put the nickels out of the – it doesn't, shouldn't even count. But the problem with this year's defense is you see guys like James Jones, who last year would never get beat on a deep touchdown, getting beat a lot on deep touchdowns, and Kenny Byers missing tackles. And it's like they just aren't the cohesiveness is not there. It's not the same team that, you know, we had last season, and it's killing us. I mean, it's killing us because we don't have an offense like we did last year. We're not able to sustain long drives, and we need the defense to be creating. The other thing is creating turnovers. They're not creating or generating near the turnovers. I don't have the numbers here in front of me, but I know that we had 5 turnovers in that game, and UAB had 0.
Right, the turnover margin, which we had counted on, and that's a hallmark. You know, McCartney's big on that. Not even close. Several people in the room talking about injuries. I mean, there's a lot of little things happening here that are moving parts that are really giving us a tough go this year. We managed to make the first part of this season without any major injuries. We started out pretty good, but it's obviously catching up to us. We're starting to lose some
Laramie
guys.
Lee was the big one, and Hank and George were all shocked. They didn't even know before the game Laramie Lee wasn't going to play. But, boy, man, we need him. You know, I hope he's available for this coming game because not having him out there, it's a huge drop-off after him.
Yeah. And then somebody on the board, looks like Whitfield might not play this week.
Well, Whitfield was out last week, and you know, that's another big loss to the defense. So, yeah, are injuries playing a part this year? Sure. Last year we commented, I know, several times on the show that was the healthiest year we've ever had injuries. So Lady Luck plays a little bit into what's going on as well.
Okay, well, let's talk about what's coming up this week. Obviously, we have a home game. A lot of people thinking this is homecoming because it seems like it's that time of the year, but it's not. The homecoming game is November 8th. This week's game What is this, parents? No, it's not parents weekend. What is this?
I don't know. It's not homecoming, though. I don't know what
it
is.
Does it have a name? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Skip class week or something? I don't know. So we're playing against Miss Southern Miss. Southern Miss is 2-4, 0-2 in Conference USA. They just lost to Middle Tennessee.
Which is, it's a pretty good Middle Tennessee, not a terrible Middle Tennessee team.
Right, right. So tell me about Southern Miss. What kind of are they run a running team, passing team? What do you got?
They don't run the ball very well.
Good.
They are passing the ball pretty well.
Bad.
You know, they put 31 on Middle Tennessee, and their quarterback Nick Mullins passed for 426 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Bad.
I mean, that's a little scary. I mean, That's been our weak point is we have not been good. We've been given that big cushion on the passing games against teams, and this is a team that can throw the ball a little bit. So
they have a good offensive line.
I think the running game in terms of their offensive line is a weakness, but they evidently can pass protect, because if anybody can put up 426 yards and 3 touchdowns, then you're protecting the quarterback, don't you think, a little bit?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, here's the Todd said that our UNT 90 grad said it's the Mean Green Pride game, whatever that is. So that's what this – it's not homecoming. It's not Parents Week. It's the Mean Green Pride game. So this week, wear some North Texas items to the game.
Well.
That should be everywhere.
I mean, we're going to do that anyway, but that's cool.
All right. Well, I'm glad they reminded us.
So but no, they're much improved over last year.
Gotcha.
They're much improved.
All right. So they had an off week, right? So they had an off week to get ready for this, which is always great. I hope they have an off week like we have off weeks. Or, you know, the game back after an off week. Yeah. I'm hoping there's.
I don't think anybody does that as badly as we do.
Man, we are consistent at it. They're forcing turnovers at a high rate. Did you see that?
Yeah. I mean, here's the key note on this is that they played Alcorn State, which is like their Nicholls State game.
Right.
Alcorn State was able to run 295 yards on the ground against their defense.
So you're telling me this is going to be a quick game because we're going to keep running the ball.
I mean, why not? You got the best offensive line, right?
Okay. So knowing that, do you play Dijon or do you play McNulty?
That's why I think McNulty might start. I mean, I think.
I don't know, man. Think about it. Who can run the ball better? Yeah. And if there's an open spot, I mean, McNulty can throw it. He threw a nice pass towards the end of that game. His touch was there. McNulty was there. But if we're going to be running the ball, it's like having an extra running back there with Dijon and give him some dump and passes. I think when you're looking for an opponent, you want to see build your quarterback's confidence for the future back up. Wouldn't you want to see Dijon out there against a bad run defense?
How about this? How about Dijon starts, and the first time he turns the ball over, you put him on the bench? Because, you know, they kept putting him out there and putting him out there and putting him out there. I think you got to get the message to this young man that you cannot turn the ball over. I'm not telling you not to play to your fullest ability, but I think you have to get the message across to him that we can't afford – I don't care how much potential you got. We can't have you turn the ball over 2 or 3 times. We're going to lose every single game the rest of the year.
Yeah, and realize that the cameras are on you and don't look like you just, you know, the world just ended for you.
Yeah.
All right, so while we've got some people in the chat room here, let's get a quick little vote here. Who do they want to see behind the center the first series against Southern Miss? I think that's going to be the question. A lot of people think it's going to be McNulty. I kind of hope we keep with Dijon, at least try a little longer, the Dijon experiment.
Yeah, and the people in the chat room are having the same difficulty that we are in this debate because I'm not getting a lot of quick responses on that question. But I'm on the record. I think it should be Dijon. I think that you got to give him the shot and give him another chance. How about you, Evan?
I'm just waiting for somebody to say Tea Garden or something like that. Some smart ass answer.
Don't say Means. We won't accept that as an answer.
Connor Means. Oh my God. Oh, everybody loves a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay. We got some Dijon. I have no idea.
Yeah.
There's a good point. It depends on how Dijon responded this week, which that's, you know, how was he in practice? Did he bounce back? Did he show commitment? Hey, that was just it. I'm going to move on past this.
Here's McNulty need a win.
Oh, that's, there's it. Yeah. How many games did we give Greer? Well, that's a good point. How many games did we give Greer? Is Texas?
Here's one. Derek Thompson. SMU. Derek Thompson should start.
You know, it's so funny because the beginning of last year, we were just like, Thompson start. Oh, my God. And then at the end of the year, we're like, man, you talk about a guy who picked up his game and brought it. But you know what? And we he was committed, though.
Yeah.
Because when there was press conferences, all that stuff we were up there for before the season started, during, he was the guy. He wanted to be that guy. And he was the guy. And he took us to the bowl game. And so you can say what you want about his ability, but the bottom line is he took us to a huge victory against UNLV. So that was he definitely wanted it, and it made sense. This year, I feel like we don't have a lot of direction. I really don't.
No, it's been a tough year. The best thing for us right now would be to get a win at home. It would help get things pointed in the right direction. Mac made a great point on the radio show this week. I think he said it was like Middle Tennessee last year was in the same position as us. They were 2-4. They came back and had a real strong finish to the end of the season. Ended up getting invited to the bowl, the Armed Services Bowl in Fort Worth, which, boy, how cool would that be? I don't think we're eligible to go there for Conference USA, but you understand what I'm saying.
I understand because I remember this could be Monroe. That could have been that UAB game could have been Monroe in 2000.
That's not a good comparison.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah, we were 0-5.
Yeah, and the the bus ride back, I remember because a bunch of people, alums, jumped on a bus and out there. RV had just been hired, and we're coming back, and we were like, you know, this is it. Daryl's out, blah, blah, blah. We got nothing. And then the next week, it was like a new team.
We beat Middle Tennessee at home. Middle Tennessee was ranked in the top 25 or was right on the outskirts of that and had an undefeated or a great
season. So we can turn the season around. Absolutely. We've done it before, and we've strung it together. Sticks put on here at one point that I asked you what he thought, what you think about this. He says, I think you have to start Dijon or we may never get – or he may never get back mentally.
You risk that. He's, it would be a real big thing of confidence for him to get the start this week, have a good solid game, and put that mess last week behind him. I think if you start Mini Mac in front of him, you risk leaving that sting from last week for the rest of the season.
Well, that's the thing. He said, and some SSP said, the mentality of this team is atrocious right now. And I think it is. I mean, they've gone from highs to lows. Well, I think you got to. And the thing is you play with who will help you win, but you got to look to who's got the best chance for the future. And you got to say that McNulty did some great things the other day, but unfortunately, man, if McNulty would be listening, I have to say I really want to see Dijon out there and see what he can do and if he's got the resilience.
If Dijon comes out and lays an egg, turns the ball over, makes a bad decision, you put him on a short leash and you get Mini Mac out there and try to win the ball game. But I think you got to give the shot to him, give him an opportunity to right the wrongs from last weekend, help him rebuild up his confidence, and go from there.
But having said that, if Dijon comes in this week and plays and we win, I don't care how the victory is, if it's a blowout or if it's a barely victory, he's going to need to earn the rest of the season. None of this blowout against Nicholls State is the next best thing. Sliced bread, we haven't had a quarterback of this caliber since blah, 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 Scott, Mitch Mayer, whatever. We can't do that. He's going to have to earn everything else this season because he's seen that low. He's seen that low not only against Indiana, but he's seen that low against UAB, and that was real low.
Yep.
So he's going to have to earn everything else this season, and if he can turn the season around, then he'll be talked about and he'll be thought of as that guy the start of next year. But until then, it's way too hard to figure out.
Just go out there, learn from your mistakes, and he's had plenty of them the last couple of weeks. But learn from your mistakes, and don't try to play beyond yourself. Just play within the system. And you know what, Coach Canales, note to Coach Canales, make it simple. Keep it easy. You've got this great offensive line. They're not good against the run. There's no need to run out a bunch of multiple formations and everything else. Just go out there and let your offensive line win this game. Don't put it all on Dijon's shoulders. He's not ready for it yet.
Put it on his shoulders. No, I agree. He's not. But with this week, this team, I think it's a perfect time to run him out there. run the ball, you know, a couple of passes here and there. Let him be mobile.
But safe
do
passes.
Not, yeah, safe passes. Do not try to get crazy. He's not out there.
Don't roll him out there by himself trying to throw the opposite end of the field.
Yeah, that's just not going to work. Especially, yeah, we need to still play a little conservatively on that. So, as several people pointed out, it has been a very crazy season, up and down season, bipolar season. There's a lot of teams that, you know, even your best teams out there, top 25, nearly have lost and just don't look like that. I mean, it's all wide open this year. Yeah. So
makes it fun. Getting,
it's a more level playing field, so there's no dynasty running around right now. So with that, we will leave for the 137th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. We will be back next week. Watch Beyond the Green tomorrow. It ought to be interesting, getting a better feel for how the team felt after that game. There was some good, for those of you that saw the Dijon coverage.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It was really interesting the week before, so I'm going to see how it's going to go this week. And I'm sure that Ashton's getting some great footage for next week as well. So with that, we'll leave you. The game is at 6 o'clock on Saturday. The weather's supposed to be absolutely perfect, so make sure you come out for that, and we will talk to you later. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.